Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll quite likely go friggin' nuts. My very special guest, somebody who is, I would say, very abreast with just how nuts some of the things in the world can be, is an author of a book, Behind the Green Mask. Her name is Rosa. I think it's pronounced Corey, is that it?
It's Corey.
Corey. All right, like the Corey story. I got it. Well, welcome to the program. I'd love it if you'd just introduce yourself to me and the audience, and for those of us who don't know, a little bit about yourself.
Well, great. I'm so glad to be with you. It's fun to talk with the other side of the world. And I want, you know, basically, if I'm going to tell about myself, I want to mainly say that I'm not crazy. And that what we're going to be talking about is crazy, but those of us who are talking about it are being smeared as conspiracy theorists, as tinfoil hat types, or people with black helicopters over their heads, and that is just the mainstream media way of propagandizing so that you won't wake up and see what's going on. So I'm here to talk.
I was hearing. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the term conspiracy theory, I think, was actually first found in a CIA memo after the Warren Commission with JFK, and they said what we want to do is anybody who has an alternative story to what the Warren Commission comes out, we're going to call that story a conspiracy theory.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the thing is the funny thing, or not funny, is that this is not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. Agenda 21 is the real thing, and that's what I'm talking about. It's actually a United Nations plan that was signed on to by 179 nations, including New Zealand, and the United States in 1992. And it is it's a blueprint. It's the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all information, all energy, all means of production, all education, all construction, and all human beings in the world. So you can see it's a completely comprehensive inventory and control plan, and it's not something that's out there. It's right there in New Zealand and everywhere across the world right now.
No doubt, no doubt. And that was actually one thing that I wanted to do with you today, Rosa, is just tell you a few things about New Zealand's very recent history. For example, they're uprooting a whole bunch of state housing projects that had poor people in them and replacing them with rich people, developers, stuff like that. They're also force amalgamating entire massive areas, and like nine cities at once got pushed together into one super council with a completely unelected cabinet. All the assets of the country are basically penned to be sold off to foreign multinationals and be controlled by them henceforth. And all people's subsequent rights are being taken away. And, yeah, I mean, that's just off the top of my head. And what's funny is I know a little bit about Agenda 21, only a little bit. And almost every single piece of legislation that I see my country pass, whether locally or nationally or to do with trade or internationally, it just screams Agenda 21 to me.
You said it. And you know what? That Auckland plan, Auckland 2040, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, your, you know, I mean, all of this, all these things, these plans are all the same all across the world. And that's something that we don't know because we are so isolated from one another, even from city to city. In fact, all across New Zealand, you've got these regional plans that are all the same as the plans in the United States. The San Francisco One Bay Area regional plan is the same plan as the Hanoi Center regional plan, Hanoi 2030, in Hanoi, Vietnam. And it's the same plan as the Auckland 2040 Auckland plan. So
if it wasn't a conspiracy, there would be different plans coming up in different places. If
yeah.
it is a conspiracy, every place has the same plan.
I know, and you would, and see, here it is. This is the lie, one of the many lies of Agenda 21. And the reason it's called that is because it's the agenda for the 21st century. It's not like you know, we're inventing this catch 22 thing. So Agenda 21, the lie, one of the many lies, is that it's about empowering the locals, listening to you, and developing these plans with, you know, complete direction from the people. You know, you are so cool. You are so smart. You came up with this plan all by yourself. Aren't you great? And that's, you know, this is what they're using. They're using a mind control technique that was developed post-World War II in the Cold War to bring groups of people to a predetermined outcome while giving them the impression that it was all their idea. So like I said, this plan is the same plan all across the world. But since you see it locally and it comes up locally and you're invited to come on down to your visioning meeting and give your opinion on this great new Auckland 2040 or, you know, Christchurch plan or whatever, you think that you're developing that plan yourself. You're not. This is the same plan all across the world.
Yeah, yeah. And this is something I've been deeply concerned about recently, and I'm glad that you mentioned Christchurch. Because what seems to be happening down there is, you know, the shock doctrine. You just use a big crisis and then all of a sudden, hey, you can send in as many troops and police and draconian scumbags and pass whatever legislation you want because it's a crisis. Mm-hmm. Hey, great. And now everybody in Christchurch, screwed, you know. Their city's been taken away from them. Several suburbs are still basically more or less ghost suburbs and nobody living there. The insurance companies aren't paying out people properly. It's just a big, well, liquefaction mess, basically.
Yeah.
And when they come in to scoop it all out kind of thing, they're just simply throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, everything that it was to basically have Christchurch as it is, you know, unfluoridated, beautiful river, nice garden city, that kind of thing, it's just kind of being ripped up and turned into something like, I don't know, like a really pretty prison.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. That's what smart growth is. It is. It's the what it is it's the hardscape for our future poverty. But they make it look good now. So basically what it is stacked apartments and condos on top of shops. And it looks the same everywhere in the world. Now, you know, some cities, when you have a high, you might want high density in somewhere like New York City where land is so expensive and people, you know, have a very limited area to live in. But when you're looking at most cities, especially in rural nations and rural areas, you don't want to live like that. You want to have a piece of land. But this plan, Agenda 21, is designed to bring groups of people out of the rural and suburban areas and into the dense city centers. And, of course, there in Christchurch, you know, it's like never let a good crisis go to waste, right? So you got a good earthquake.
Never let a good Christchurch go to waste.
Right. So you got, you know, you got your great earthquake there. And let's you know, use that as a reason to create a lot of smart growth. And that's what they're doing.
It could be anything. It could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah. You well, know, it's climate change.
A natural event happens, boom, they come in with Agenda 21. An unnatural event happens, boom, come in with Agenda 21. It's just basically, here's the big plan, and we're simply waiting for our opportunity, the right timing to coming in. Is that what it's all about, really? Is just timing? Do they have a time scale for this of which to complete this apparatus?
Yeah, they do. Well, let me just say that, of course, the major crisis, the perfect made-to-order crisis, whether true or not, is climate change. And that is what you're going to see all across the world. Cities for Climate Protection, all of that, all these climate action plans, they're designed to implement Agenda 21. And yes, there is a timetable for this. Most all of these regional plans are set to be rolled out by 2013, that's next year, and then supposed to be, you know, everything in place by 2025, an absolute drop-dead, you know, world government, which is what this is. It's a totalitarian, global totalitarian corporatocracy fascist plan, and this is real. And that's supposed to be all completely in place by the year 2050. And they're right on time here.
Well, hold on a second. Here's what's interesting to me. You know how a lot of people are talking about how December 21st, 2012 is going to be the end of mankind and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I think the New World Order know for a fact that that ain't the case, and that's why they've got such long projected plans. So whatever happens in December 21st, 2012, they don't care. You know,
yeah.
If anything, people are just going to be partying and what have you, and just going, yeah, it's the end of the world and what have you. And by the time that they return home the next morning, there'll be a security guard standing there waiting and just going, "Hey, have you got your ID tags, mate? You got permission to enter your own residence now? Sorry, government property, buddy. Move along."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a
well, whether they do it, you know, whether they use that date or not. I mean, it's almost like Y2K. Do you remember that? You know, year 2000. Remember? You know, and really, that, in fact, you know, I think what happened for Y2K was 9/11. You know, the planes going into the World Trade Center, which, you know, I think that was an arranged sort of Pearl Harbor moment there, but kind of a Reichstag moment anyway. But you know, what we're seeing, obviously, is that everything that you're seeing worldwide is positioning us, the human beings, to be manipulated and controlled by this plan so that, in fact, those of us who are on board with it and think that we like it and think it's a positive thing are going to go along with it and pressure those of us who are not to accept it. And this is what the power of this plan is. Actually, they use communitarianism to basically use social engineering to force people to accept their plan because, you know, revolution is bad for business, and they don't want that.
Well, that's true, unless, of course, they're the ones staging the revolution. Mm-hmm. And this is another concern to me, Rosa, is that there might be false opposition to the system rising up other ways in order to capture those who won't be slaves and simply use their energy to enslave them even faster.
You know, that's a good point. And my concern, you know, I go all across the United States and I talk to people about this plan and the impacts that it's having. And what I do, you know, of course, is I talk to people. A lot of people think, well, you know, I have my gun and nobody's going to take my land away from me. And I say, you know, you don't want to go to the violent side, because this is exactly what a regime like this wants. Is they want people to get violent so that they can round up the people that they want and take them away. And we don't want that.
That's right. And I find it's more important to go a similar route to the founding fathers on this one, where they had the pamphleteers and the newly, utilized printing presses, and they started an information war against King George. And because humans, I feel, naturally crave truth and justice, it's not that difficult to get the information out there, have it take root, and then have it expand on its own accord. The metaphor of planting a seed sort of thing, one seed is a tiny thing, and it grows into a giant tree. That's what happens whenever you wake a single person up. They become essentially unassailable. Once they've been converted over to knowing what the truth is, they can't be lied to again. They've as a human resource, you know, in the enslavement sense of thing, basically they've just lost their resources because that person wake up.
You know, the way I look at it, and I agree with you, and of course we are the resistance. This is the resistance. One of the things that I say is that it's almost like, you know, if let's say you're at a magic show and you see the magician do the trick and you're all wowed by it, and then he shows you how he did the trick. You'll never be fooled again. And this is, you know, this is something about revealing the truth about these plans, is that once you see it, like, you know, like you said, Vinny, now you see it everywhere in every single plan that your government is rolling out. You recognize Agenda 21, and that's because it's there.
Well, and also because Agenda 21 comprises the control of absolutely everything. So naturally, any legislation that is passed anywhere, any time, that in any way gives any more control to the government over the people, that's Agenda 21.
That's it.
Pretty straightforward, I would have thought. All right, Rosa Corey is my guest, and we'll be right back just after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can also join us in the chat room there. Just search Vinny Eastwood Chat on the NSA Agenda 21 search engine Google, and you should be able to find us, kind of like a predator drone. We'll be right back.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone. The conditions which frame and hold us our status have gone. The world we knew is gone.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and incidentally Fukushima irradiated island chained nation of New Zealand in the sunny slave South Pacific, with our former Wall Street banker, derivatives trader, prime sinister John Key, and all manner of other things. God, love this country. Right, a very special guest, somebody who's aware that there is an agenda to destroy all our nations, Rosa Corey. Welcome back.
Great. Yeah, you know, I want to say, I know that all, you know, everything we're talking about, if people aren't familiar with it, they might think, you know, hey, these people are out there, and that is true. But we're out here with the truth and speaking the truth. And the information is not something that can't be found. It can be found in the source documents. I have a website. We have a couple of websites, and one of them is Democrats Against UN Agenda 21.com, and the other one is postsustainabilityinstitute.org. And both of those sites have great source information, lots of information, including which nations signed on to United Nations Agenda 21 and what the impacts are around the world. So I really encourage people to go and check that out and check out the links that are links to source documents.
Mm-hmm. And I did glance at one of my listeners, actually, Rosie, you'd be interested in this, sent me a link to the UN's page, or rather New Zealand's section on the Agenda 21 protocols, right?
Right.
And it actually has a list of all the parts of Agenda 21 that they've already implemented in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like bragging about it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like, it's on their official website. I'm not crazy. They are actually telling us this, but the media ain't repeating it 1,000 times over. That's why we're crazy.
That's right. Yeah, this is a mediocrity. This is a mediocrity. This is the corporatocracy.
Mediocre mediocrity.
It's a mediocrity. So, you know, that's what they're doing, is they're creating this media blackout and hoping that, you know, they're racing to get all this stuff into position. We're throwing a little monkey wrench into their thing here by bringing this out so that people all around the world can hear about it, find out about it, and then take action. And that's a lot of, in fact, you know, the last part of my book is about what you can do to stop this locally, because it's a global plan, but it's implemented locally. And that's where our strength is, because we are local.
Rosa, have you been in contact at all with G. Edward Griffin and Freedom Force International?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, Ed wrote a... what do you call that? Kind of a blurb or something for my book on Amazon. You can see, you know, he said it was really great, which I appreciated. And yes, I quote his book, which his best known book, which is Creature from Jekyll Island, in my book. You know, because of course, taking down our economy, our worldwide economy, is part of this plan. Because when it creates dependence on government, and that is part of this plan. It's an essential element of the plan to create dependence, to take away your independence in terms of your food, your mobility, where you live, and how you live. Making you more dependent on government is actually empowering this plan.
Indeed. And the whole point of Freedom Force International, Libertatum Non Possunt, or something like that, those without power cannot defend freedom, basically, mm-hmm. is the name of the game. And because Agenda 21 is implemented locally, that's the reason why I just clicked into mine, because they train up people who are running for local positions and things all over the place to take back their city halls. And in so doing, if we have freedom-loving patriots who are willing to lay down their reputations to protect the liberties of their fellow citizens, there is very little chance that these Agenda 21 protocols would go off without a hitch anymore.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's essential, though, too. It's not, you know, it's essential that we run for office, but it's essential that we educate our fellow citizens, because awareness is the first step in the resistance. So unless you know that this is going on, you may not, you know, I happen to be a liberal Democrat. I'm socially liberal. Many people find things to disagree with when I'm talking, but we all agree that our nations and our national sovereignty are worth fighting for, because this is our personal sovereignty we're fighting for ultimately. And so regardless of what our political affiliations are, this is a nonpartisan, worldwide, grassroots fight to push back this global corporatocracy and totalitarian state, the one world government that is being imposed on us right now.
Mm, indeed. And the whole mass awareness thing, I think, is, well, it would have never been possible to do it over the world in any previous century. Only in the 21st century, with the technology we've got, can we actually have the tools to beat this. It's ironic that it is the only century where they're trying to take control of the entire world as well.
Well, you know, that's not exactly true, because think about Hitler, right? And the interesting thing about Hitler is that he was assisted by two of the big players in Agenda 21. And the first one, of course, was Siemens Corporation, which is a German corporation. And prior to Hitler taking power in World War II, Siemens was almost bankrupt until Hitler provided them with slave labor from the concentration camps. And Siemens is a big player in Agenda 21. They put out their light rail trains, they're into the smart grid, solar. They're very big in Agenda 21. They give awards and grants. The other company is IBM. And IBM was a United States company that created a wholly owned German subsidiary, and they were the ones that made it possible for Hitler to actually keep track of all of those prisoners, because those numbers on the arms actually were not just like your number one, your number two. They were related to what your race was, where you were from, what was going to be done with you. And
it was revolutionary technology for the time. I mean, the Germans were one of the first governments of the world to actually do a census as well. And that's indeed how they got information on everybody in order to round them all up in the first fracking place.
Exactly. And that, see, so you know what this is actually an extension of that, because as you said, you know, now we have through technology, you and I can talk, we have access to the internet and we can communicate, but they also have the access to use drones to monitor us, to use biometrics to restrict our movement and our ability to communicate freely, because we are being monitored at all times. This is an inventory and control plan.
Indeed. And if anybody else would like to call in on this topic, the number is 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. And Rosa, we're going to take our first caller now, Tim in Washington, D.C. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Brady?
Hey. sitting back enjoying my subsequent enslavement, I guess.
Yeah, I just basically called in to listen because I'm on the road, so I'm out and about. So I called in just to listen. I heard her say something about drones, and I kind of look up. And sometimes I think I see him, but sometimes I don't know. But she's right.
That's right. They're out there, whether you can see them or not. And, you know, one of the interesting things about drones is that they're not just being used to monitor people. They're also flying over land so that every single tree can be identified and counted. You're in D.C., and just think about if you've been up to upstate New York or Maine or New Hampshire, those areas are covered with trees. Drones fly that area constantly, and they identify every single tree and every single species of tree so that the land trust can identify whether you have taken a tree out on your property or not.
Okay, I'm going to say two things. I'm going to just go.
I've got the proper call in number for you as well, Tim. We have a special number if you want to call in and just listen in.
You talking about that 704 number?
Yeah, 704.
Huh.
772.
Uh huh.
7627.
Okay.
And then there's a code to enter, 1080.
Okay. But you know, something I said, they had a drone that they had, they came down the Beltway in D.C., and they had it for everybody to see, and people thought it was a UFO, but it wasn't. It was a drone, but it looked like a spaceship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I've seen these.
Yeah. And one question I do have before I let you go. What do drones look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen several different ones.
A number of different designs.
You know, they are different, you know, and they look like small planes, actually, the ones that I've seen. But then something that I've seen recently, well over the last year, is a surveillance device that looks like a hummingbird. And actually, you know, it's the same size and shape, and it moves the same way a hummingbird does. It's designed to be able to do personal surveillance, fly in and out of your windows. It's got an 8-mile range, and it has full audio and visual. So, and something, you know, that when I was watching this, and it's on YouTube, you can look at it. When I was reading about it as well, they said that they're not. It's only a prototype, and that in the future it will be probably like a sparrow. Because there are not that many hummingbirds in New York City. And this was designed for DARPA, for the Pentagon. So what they're saying is that they're intending to use it for domestic surveillance in the United States. And I'm sure they'll have this all across the world.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So there's your answer, Tim. What do the drones look like? They look like anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes I see helicopters flying. I'm one of them all in the helicopters, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Tim, thanks for your call, man. And I hope you got that listener number, bro, because it looks like you need it when you're out on the road, man.
You got that right. All right, thanks, Vinny.
Cool, brother. Okay. And what I was wanting to talk about as well, Rosa, was he mentioned the drones. And incidentally, I think it was like last Friday, we had Roxy Lopez from the Truth Denied radio show on here, and she actually recanted a story about a little triangular black shaped drone that didn't reflect any light and stuff like that. And they're like, "What is that? What is that?" You know, thought it might have been a UFO, thought it might have been a skydiver, thought it might have been reflection of the light and whatever. And then she goes out and she has a talk with some of her friends who are up with the play, so to speak, in the military about these kind of things and what sort of prototypes they're testing. And they go, yeah, that sounds exactly like the one that's been flying around since such and such a time. And it's like, hold on a second. It gets to the point where almost everything that you see coming out of the sky or anything that's confusing you, it might just be a classified, operation of or device of some kind that, of course, they just haven't let everybody in the know with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I obviously this is happening right now, and there's no question about it. And there are other things I've been, researching through Stanford University. But something that I think it's really important to know is that, of course, part of this plan is to block dissent, and the idea is that to either restrict us by chilling our civil rights or by using our fellow citizens to mock us, shame us, and block us from being able to speak freely. The plan is to keep us quiet. And I would, although we may be surveilled, although right now we may be surveilled, I think it's important for us to continue to speak freely, to live openly, because this is it now. You know, if you don't do that now, you're certainly not going to do it when they're holding a gun to your head. So, it's although they have the capability to surveil us at all times and monitor all of our communications, I think that we need to look past that and work as hard as we possibly can to get this information out to each other, as you're doing now, because we cannot allow them to chill our civil rights so that we just go meekly and don't fight. We have to stop this, and we will prevail.
Well, we have to roar like a lion, essentially. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying, well, if I start resisting, they'll take my home from me, or they'll try and arrest me for no reason, or that they're going to do it anyway, bro. You ain't got nothing to lose. They ain't going to take from you now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's
the conclusion that I've come from. I got nothing left to lose at all.
That's it.
I'm not going to be stupid about my resistance and just walk up to some cop who has nothing to do with the agenda and ain't even aware of it and pop a cap in his ass or anything like that, because that's just stupid and it won't accomplish anything. You've got to get this information out. Information is incredibly powerful, like ripples on a pond that spread across the entirety. We'll be right back with Rosa Corey. This is the Agenda 21 theme song.
Nowhere to run.
That's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and scumbaggery, individuals are capable of manipulating the media to brainwashing the public. You'll go friggin' nuts if you can't laugh about it. Just like somebody who called in just before we went to break and has been holding for over like 5 minutes or something like that. Mary Elizabeth, I think. Hold on a second. We're having a little bit of a problem with the phones here. I can't seem to access them. 2 seconds.
I'm here.
And Mary Elizabeth, there you go. You're on air.
I'm here. And, yeah, Elizabeth is fine. Thanks all for right. taking my call. I just wanted to say to Rosa, yeah, so much for your effort, for your work. Here in the States, people in the know just get so frustrated over trying to hit people upside the head with brick, but everything is just so obvious with what's going on. I mean, from everything, from September 11th to Agenda 21 to NSA, you know, stealing all our information. There's a million YouTubes out there explaining all this stuff, and it's just people I know here, I'm sure in New Zealand and Australia too, you know, some people just, they look at this stuff and they see nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, the truth is that more and more people are recognizing it all the time. And it takes all of us, you know, regardless of our political affiliation. So it's, you know, those of us who know, it's our job then to get the information out to everyone else. And what you need to do is to understand that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't come called Agenda 21. It's, you know, you're going to recognize it as, you know, regional plans or redevelopment, bike boulevards, traffic calming, code enforcement, the Food Security Act, you know, drones, of course, climate action plans, smart meters, wetland misidentification. There are many, many things that you're going to see all around in your town. I've been thinking, you know, it'd be funny to have a radio show where I just, you know, someone hands me a newspaper from anywhere in the world, and I can sit there and read the first section and call out all the elements of Agenda 21 right there, no matter what town it is. So that's, you know, that's what we need to do. The people who can hear it, you give them the information. Give the information to everyone, and then people come to it in their own way. It's difficult to take this in, so we have to be compassionate.
As an example of the media just sitting down on their hands, North Carolina, I mean, Western North Carolina, these people are hippies and dreadlocks and organic farming, and the Tea Party in the area invited two of the Republican candidates that were running off in primaries in July, and they asked and spoke, both candidates spoke about Agenda 21, and the Tea Party folks was, you know, very concerned about all of this stuff, and the newspaper just made a total joke out of it. I mean, literally used tinfoil hat term while, you know, talking. And these are Republican candidates, so, and I'm not sure, I don't live there anymore, but I'm not sure who won, but it's difficult. My thought was that anybody in the States listening, I mean, we have elections coming up, you know, just flip an email over, buy your book to the candidates, you know? Mm-hmm. That's
yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people are doing that, and actually, I've been invited to speak with many elected officials and candidates. I came back from New Hampshire recently, where I addressed members of the New Hampshire legislature. So, and I have spoken all around the United States, and also going to universities as well, and talking to all elements of the political spectrum. But I think it's very important that that people give this information to their elected officials and candidates so that they can recognize that they are, in fact, being indoctrinated themselves. And the American Planning Association has put out a 12-week-long communications boot camp that is actually directed to planners to tell them how to inoculate elected officials against people like us who are speaking the truth. So they are actually spreading disinformation purposely. And, of course, the press is completely committed to doing this because it's a corporatocracy and five mega corporations own all of the major media.
Yes, they do.
It's not a fair fight. And Elizabeth, you make a very good point. You said the word that has been on my mind for the last couple of days, frustration. Frustration at why people won't wake up, frustration at why they can't see the obvious truth and stuff like that. Can I ask you a question, Elizabeth? Who woke you
up? Absolutely. You know, I sit around with some of my friends, not here, because I don't have anybody really that in my region, area, state practically, that is on the same wavelength. And the only thing we can come up with in common is that we read Carlos Castaneda in the 80s, that there was some invisible hand or force at work. And you know, I had told you this before. I used to work in media, and I could see this transition going on in the 90s between advertisement-driven news versus covering county commission sessions, county city, town, council meetings. News directors and advertising people within the media were just saying, you know, it's just too dull. People don't understand it. They don't know what these terms are. It's taking up too much manpower. So the minute you start cutting off your audience, which is a 30s market, which there's 200 and some odd markets in the U.S., but once you take away that localness, you know, people for however many years, since the 50s, were used to seeing what went on at their city council and their county commissions. And once you take that away, nobody's reading the fine print of what was going on, you know, locally. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
Elizabeth,
if I may, this is my point.
Yeah.
You all kind of read that book by Carlos What's-His-Name, but at the end of the day, it wasn't him that woke you up, per se. You were the one who went out and started putting in all the effort and finding out all the or extra information, right? It's about taking personal
Absolutely.
Responsibility for the info that you're exposed to. Like like my mother-in-law, for instance, or mother-in-law-to-be, very, very, very large and overweight, and yet has dozens of self-help books on how to lose weight. Knowledge does not equal application. And what I find is the reason why truthers get frustrated is because of, A1, the urgency of the situation. Oh, my God, we've got to wake up people now, otherwise we're all going to be exterminated by ruthless criminal scumbaggery. Or you're putting too much pressure on yourself to wake other people up when you can't. It is others that need to take that into account for themselves. And I approach it very similar to how I used to do telesales. In telesales, the other person on the other end of that line, you don't know who they are, you don't know what their past is, you don't know what they're in the middle of. You could be calling them in the middle of dinner or something like that. So what you do is you try and be as easy with it as possible. If they react badly to you, you want to make the conversation as quick and easy and short as possible. Get out of there, make your next call to try and make that next sale. If you spend all your time trying to convince the people who are hard to convince, you're going to wake up very few people. Mm-hmm. What I've found is if you go for the low-hanging fruit, you are often more empowered because you have a far higher success rate, if you know what I mean. And what we do is because we want to wake people up, and at the end of the day, it's their choice. So we have to do something like applying that idea of personal responsibilities to ourselves. First of all, am I fully awake? Do I know everything that's going on right now? If somebody in an official capacity came up and started questioning me about these topics, would I be able to answer them? Even if they had a scientific, logical, and rational mind, would I be able to lay out the evidence that would convince them that I'm telling the truth and that this is real?
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I can say about that, Vinny, is what we do is we don't do a lot of one-on-one. I have on our websites flyers, and they're two-sided flyers, and hundreds of thousands of these have been printed by people, and they're being distributed all over the world. And, you know, what you do is you take them and you drop them on people's porches. And this means that they're able then to read a comprehensive piece of information that's easy to read. It's only one, you know, two sides of one piece of paper. And they read that silently, alone, without pressure from, you know, the news media or anyone else lying to them. And this has been very powerful in getting people to be active. Information like that, rather than going and trying to discuss it with one individual that you might end up fighting with or wasting your day with, you want to just distribute as many of these flyers as you can. And the information is easy to understand, and it's factual, and this helps people get
and
a handle.
You said you've distributed 100,000 of these. Have you seen any cutback from that?
Yes, hundreds of thousands. Yeah.
And what results from that? What results have you seen that are directly corresponded with the amount of flyers that you've sent out?
Tremendous impact all across the United States. People are gaining. You know what they're doing is they're going then to their city council meetings, to their county supervisor meetings. They are educating others. They're making flyers, more and more flyers themselves, and simply educating people so that they recognize then that, you know, then they'll go in and they'll say, we want that smart meter off of the side of our house, or we do not want that bike boulevard or that redevelopment plan or with that scenic byway, or we know that that Vision 2035 plan is a manipulation and we are not going to have it. And, you know, we have videos also.
Elizabeth, we're coming on to break now. I would like you to actually send me an email to come on the show at a later point, if you'd like, Elizabeth. Just go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com or the chat room, and also specifically into the chat room at the end of the second hour, because if you've got Skype, we have a Skype call with a whole bunch of people from all over the world who listen to the show, and we'd like to also have you in there, because it's like, hey, it doesn't matter that I'm isolated in my area of the world. I'm still talking with interesting, cool people. Rosa Corey is my guest. We'll be right back.
Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, broadcasting live from New Zealand, live from the future. You can send your lottery numbers and we'll tell you whether or not you've won tomorrow. Now, my very special guest, Rosa Corey, is here as well. And we also have Mojo in Illinois holding on the line. I was wondering, Mojo, if you're there, have you got a question for Rosa?
Hello, how are you doing?
You're on the air, man. I'm good, bro.
All right. Hey, I got a question. You know, there's a lot, being a former private business owner, you know, there are a lot of organizations that masquerade as beneficial organizations to the neighborhood or communities that they serve, such as Rotary Clubs, Chambers of Commerce. And I think, I think that people really need to take a look at those, because based upon what I see with Rotary Clubs, there are a lot of decisions made about the community and development programs via the Rotary Clubs. They have inside information on municipal projects, all types of construction projects long before the community even hears about them. And I was just wondering if our guest is even aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I can suggest besides the flyers, you know, where we're talking about how your neighborhood associations are actually being subverted and taken over, also local groups such as your Rotary, the League of Women Voters, the Chambers of Commerce, and a variety of other groups, the Lung Association. Many groups have advocacy wings for smart growth, and they are actually used when these plans come up. Now, what you're going to see is, you know, you'll see those regional plans, right, that are designed basically to take away your control, local representative control. So you'll see, you know, like your town 2025, your town 2040 or whatever, or one city, one vision. Then what they do before they bring that to the attention of the public is they have pre-meetings where they have what are called stakeholders meetings, where they actually go into the city and they look for people that they consider to be influential people, people who already have the respect of their neighbors. And basically, it's a very intentional thing that groups and people who have large businesses in your city are brought in as sort of the insider stakeholders that are used to sell the plan to the rest of the community. And they may get they might get perks, they might just get a pat on the back from the mayor, they might get a thank you in the paper or somewhere, or some money even, or a contract. But this is what these groups are used for, because these regional plans are essentially designed to destroy our jurisdictional boundaries. And because they are worldwide, they need to have so-called community buy-in in order to get people to accept them. So you're going to see that. And yes, I do know that large business groups are part of this plan.
It's how it's all implemented. Everything's done through contracting, and basically it works like this. Have you ever heard of a private-public partnership, PPP? If you put the P's upside down, it means 666, right? I just thought of that now off the top of my head. It's nothing to do with the design, I'm sure. But the whole idea is that fascism is when the corporations then own the government, all right? And now the whole issue is who issues the contracts and who gets the contracts and how tightly in bed are they? Turns out, oh my goodness, they're in bed more than a married couple.
Mm-hmm. That's probably true. Yeah, that's exactly what public-private partnerships are, is basically a takeover of your government by corporations. And through these plans, which basically a lot of them involve large subsidies to non-governmental groups and to corporations, so especially builders of low-income housing and also builders of any housing that's going to be on a transportation line. So you'll also have people who are tied in with contracts for light rail, people who are a lot of contractors, large contractors for government projects are also going to be part of this plan, because they benefit from your tax dollars. And this is what it's designed to do, is to basically sink your local economy and also make it dependent on federal grants. And these are the people who are beneficiaries of the plan.
That's true. And not only do they get all these extra subsidies, but I'm aware that they're even granted kind of immunity from prosecution if any of the stuff that they build real cheap on the taxpayer's dime goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, a new study was published not too long ago about the cost of private contracting versus local council in-house authorities, you know, like you have a park ranger instead of a park ranger contract kind of thing. And he goes out and he does all the jobs that are done there, all are done in-house. And it turns out that contracting is on average twice as expensive as doing it in-house. So there's no economic benefit there anyway for the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one of the things that this is done with, and where you'll see it a lot, is in land use plans. So consultants get hired to draft these big regional plans. And in fact, you've got planners on your city or county staff. They're not doing the plan. We are contracting, having private corporations. This is a public-private partnership. Having private corporations design these plans, and they have no accountability. So there's a huge cost. There's, you know, towns are spending $1 million to get the plan. Of course, it's the same plan, like I said, all across the world. It's just they change the street names. And then your local planners basically are freed up and can just what they're doing there is creating restrictions so that you cannot use your property. And those restrictions come out of a box of rules and statutes and ordinances, too. So really, this is a plan. The plan is a plan to keep planners in business for a long, long time.
Well, you know, the other part of the coin with that, though, by taking the local resources out of the plan, because that goes on here quite a bit,
You destroy independent entrepreneurs like nobody's business. I mean, they're like blades of grass to be cut down. And the contractors will basically lobby the local governments just to make compliance costs for any new business so horrific that nobody can ever get up the ladder again.
And then you also create an atmosphere of plausible deniability and no accountability for the actions of these independent groups.
Right.
Because they'll say, well, it was the consultant that recommended this, not this organization. You know, so there's no accountability from these groups.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
when
that's
I look
right.
at
I,
it,
when I look at about, it, go ahead.
A lot of these organizations are comprised of, sadly, by attorneys and other entities that can represent themselves very well in court if they're ever called to task.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that in it by itself is very suspect.
the American Bar Association is also a partner in this plan, along with large banks, and they are actually coordinating with Smart Growth America and Smart Growth Network with the EPA. So you have government. This is where public-private partnerships really take on a very sinister tone, because you do have, of course, attorneys in the legal system supporting this, and then you have nonprofits that are being funded through our government, actually, the EPA and HUD and Department of Education and Department of Energy and Transportation. They get grants, and then they use that to pressure government agencies and to partner with corporations. So, as you said, Vinny, yes, this is about winners and losers. It totally unbalances the playing field, because then if you are not part of the crony group, you are not going to be able to do anything with your property. Your business will go down because you are not, it's not a level playing field, and you are not getting those subsidies. So this is another way to destroy an economy and to create winners and losers.
It's almost like an economic spear to destroy morality and fairness.
Mm-hmm.
In business practice. I mean, I know a lot of business people, and the reason why I still know them and the reason why I'm still friends with them is because they're very honest with me. They do good jobs when they do their work. And they're creative and they think up solutions and they try to make things happen. And I've seen them over the years have worse and worse experiences with taxation and the government and all these other compliance costs and things like this. And yet, while I've seen those businesses go down, I have seen the scumbag businesses who sell us poison crap all the time with terrible quality service and plastic fantastic craptastic Shiite Muslim, whatever the hell you can get from it, from China or whatever. They've just been flourishing everywhere, like wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is exactly the way it's working, because the point is to collapse our economy. And when you recognize that is part of the social equity, here are the three elements of United Nations Agenda 21. They call them the three pillars, and that is economy, ecology, or the environment, and social equity. And what social equity is, really, is about collapsing economies so that no one has more than anyone else. And it's, you know, the lie is that it's supposed to alleviate poverty or eradicate poverty. But in fact, what it does is the exact opposite. It's very Machiavellian. It creates poverty. It fosters poverty because poor people are then more dependent. They then, if you want assistance from your government, you're going to have to give all the details of your life to your government, and they are going to have full control. So when you see that, then you recognize that, yeah, the winners and losers, those who are actually elevated beyond everyone else, are those who are playing the game and are actually able to, through large law firms, through huge nonprofit environmental groups, through government subsidies, able to establish themselves as the elite, and the rest of us are just going to be, you know, the slaves of this plan.
Well, how do we wake everyone up? Because the people that are in these organizations, I'm telling you, they are clueless as to what they're involved in. I try to explain.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you're asking that. Again, I'm really serious. These flyers, you know, we have put out hundreds of thousands of these flyers around the world, and they are very powerful. This information is available, and it's good to give it to people so that they have an opportunity to get at least a handle on what's going on. And if you go to our website, it's postsustainabilityinstitute.org, and the other one is Democrats Against UNAgenda21.com, and you can print those flyers out and hand them out to people. You put them on porches, and this is the way you do it. It takes some work, it takes some energy, and also you want to go to your government meetings and you want to speak out. You're on camera, you're on, you know, they're broadcasting that on your media channel. You want to put this information out to the public. Wear your suit, go out there professionally. You know, if you're in a business situation, you want to talk about this. There's no place that you don't want to bring this information out to the public. Everywhere that you are, you should be talking about this information so that people recognize what's going on.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
I will definitely
Roger,
use these resources.
Huh?
All right, thank you, and I will try
thank
and
you.
Use these resources to get the information out then.
Go for it.
All right, thank
see,
you.
And this is the interesting thing that that Mojo brought up, was that how can we wake everybody up? And the point of fact is, if you have a look at the amount of web traffic that is now being directed towards truth-based sites, radio shows, TV shows, and the like, it's exploding exponentially. So the answer is, whatever we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you know, I'm going around the United States. I think I was at home 4 days last month. I've been back and forth across the U.S. many, many times over the last, you know, year and a half or 2 years, going and speaking to groups about this. And, you know, what I've noticed over the last year is that what a tremendous increase there's been in the numbers of people who are aware and who are out there getting this information out. We are going to win this. This is, you know, as I say, awareness is the first step in the resistance. Action is the second step. And you need to bring people, we have to get critical mass and awareness in order to take back our local governments and refuse to allow this plan to be imposed on us.
In that way, it's a multi-headed resistance that we need to put back against it, which is convenient because the people that are fighting back against this are rugged individualists who are aware of their own unique individual talents and powers and use them to take these scumbags out wherever they may be. If they're mm-hmm. in the mainstream media, expose them, let everybody know that they're lying, and suddenly you see what happens to their viewership. We have the power now. Have a look at all of the ratings, TV, all over the place, okay? Fox News, I'm not kidding here, has lower primetime ratings, okay? Primetime television. Fox News has lower ratings than the Chuck Norris Total Gym. Now, I can understand that because, after all, Chuck Norris was bitten by a king cobra once. And after five agonizing days, the cobra finally died. So you must have a really awesome piece of equipment there for your sale. But it still says the point, man. If you want your media message to get it out there. Don't go asking people to get it out there for you. Just go get it out there yourself. You're far more effective and more powerful like that, because it means you're independent. Nobody can fire you, censor you, or do anything like that to you. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Rosa Corkery, will be right back with us. 218-339-8525 is the number to ring. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, we're jamming.
Jamming a big finger in the face of scumbags. And jamming a huge monkey wrench into the mechanisms of scumbaggery worldwide. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Gotta love it. Hey, and this is another thing. I really do love myself. I really do love doing the radio show. And I really do love a whole lot of the guests that we have on the show and stuff. And you know what I also love? I love being criticized. I love being told that I'm wrong. I love people giving me information that contradicts what I already know, because I don't like being right a lot of the time. In fact, I prefer to be proven wrong. That way it gives me the opportunity to learn something for a change. And as I think a lesson a lot of us have got to learn that, hey, we don't know it all. I know this much. And there could be a whole lot of other stuff that I don't know that contradicts what I do know. So just assume what you know is wrong and wait for the evidence that you really are wrong. That's what I like about life, is being wrong is a good thing. Rosa Corkery is my guest. Welcome back, darling.
Hey, well, too bad you're not wrong about this, Vinnie, because this is the real deal here. We're talking about Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. And I want to mention that, of course, you know, people who tell you that they haven't heard of Agenda 21 do have heard of sustainable development. And it's the same thing, because, you know, when you hear that that you're saving the planet, that you're going to somehow, transcend this veil of tears and move into, you know, a new consciousness, this is also part of, creating this kind of Zen concept that there's nothing that you can do, that you have no power, that everything is just going to happen, whatever happens, happens. That is not the attitude you want to take now. There's no silver bullet. We need to work together. You want to identify and expose collaborators with this plan and withdraw your support if you're paying dues or voluntary contributions to groups that are supporting sustainable development. So a way to do that is you put, when you're using the internet, you use your search engine and you put in the name of whatever group it is, or your union or whatever company or individual you're checking out. Put their name in with sustainable development or with ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I. Which is the international group that is actually the group that they use to implement it locally, or Agenda 21 or United Nations. Put the names in with those terms and see what comes up. You'll find that a lot of people who are pushing the agenda in your local community are actually their information is online for you to see. Their connections are right there. So it's up to us, I agree with you, it's up to us to do the work, to identify who it is that's implementing this plan, and then to do what we can to publicize that information. Those public-private partnerships, you want to publicize who they are and what they're getting from your tax dollars.
Now, taking responsibility for oneself. Have you ever seen the movie, what was it called, 10,000 BC, the Roland Emmerich one with the mammoths and stuff?
Yeah.
All right. A man draws a circle around himself, and into that circle he draws his friends and maybe his family. But some people have a greater destiny, and that circle expands to include many, many more. And what I find is that throughout history, there have always been exceptional individuals who have saved many others, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening now in our society and through Agenda 21 and our educational programs, that exceptionalism that we're all kind of expected to have, you know, mothers are prepared to be exceptionally sleep deprived and still function. Fathers are expected to, you know, go to work every day and provide for the family, even in a failing economy. But these kind of things, these upper expectations of people have kind of waned somewhat into a dithering abyss of mediocrity, of sitting around entertaining yourself rather than informing yourself or building something, rather than meeting new people and accomplishing something more than what you already got. That culture's got to change. When it does, and it is changing at the moment, there is nothing that can stop it. Nothing that can stop people from enforcing and standing up for their own personal freedoms and liberties. Because ultimately, it doesn't, in the future, I think, in opposition to Agenda 21, which has the idea of making everybody in complete dependence, obviously the system to resist it can't be then any system that has representation of governments that you expect to do your job for you. It has to be something that is utterly independent in every way in order to ensure a system like this could never take root again.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a very good point, because one element of this that you need to do is divorce yourself, separate yourself from popular culture, because the school system is actually being revamped to insert sustainable development principles into every course from pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate school, and all the way to the extent that you're working in a cohort, it's not about individual excellence. It's about striving for the middle ground, for mediocrity. And so other students, when you're working in a team, generally there's a few people who are doing everything and then the others don't do anything. And when you see that sort of striving for mediocrity, when you see that you're not supposed to stand out, you're not supposed to dissent, you're not supposed to do anything that, you know, that makes you, sets you apart or makes you uncomfortable, this actually is part of Agenda 21, because in fact, you know, in the school systems now, they aren't actually teaching mathematics. They're teaching something called rethinking mathematics, which incorporates sustainable development principles by saying that there is no right answer, there is no wrong answer, it's a gray area, it's whatever you feel, whatever you think, that everyone has value. And what this does is it destroys objective reality. And that's part of what, you know, when you're part of the popular culture machine and you are watching film and reading magazines that are completely tied in with the Agenda 21 model, so they basically are instructing you to be passive, to not take control, to hope that, you know, someone else is going to step up, or to go to the violent element in your personality and just see everything as being, you know, completely out of your control unless you have a weapon. This, you know, you are actually being instructed not to dissent. And this is something you need to resist, because the only way we're going to win this is to resist locally. And when you overcome your schooling, which is teaching you not to resist and to accept whatever the gray area is, and then you cannot identify objective reality, that's when people can say, well, this is just your opinion. And this is not our opinion. This is actual fact. And people need to recognize that there is such a thing as objective reality, and then fight this together.
You know what? When I think I might have been 15 or something, I said that my generation's problem is we read between the lines so much that we miss the lines themselves. And I didn't. It was kind of interesting in and of itself, but what you just said there is something that actually solidified that for me, is the loss of objective reality, and it's all interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You actually just completed that thought for me, Rosa. Thank you.
Yeah, this is very serious, and especially because, when you're talking about When, you know, this is not a tinfoil hat thing talking about Agenda 21. All these nations have signed on to it, and not only did they sign on to this non-binding agreement, but then they took it back into their nations and they implemented it, and that's what makes it binding. It's implemented in every single country, and it's implemented through you know, through your land use plans and through your restrictions on your use. It's also, when you look at it, you know, right now a huge portion of our population is being diagnosed with mental illness and being drugged. This is part of Agenda 21. You're seeing that your transportation budgets are being bled by high-cost trains that go nowhere. That's Agenda 21. Smart meters, carbon tax on industry, you know, exhausting our military with endless war, pulverizing our roads and destroying our dams, and, you know, warrantless search and seizure. This is all, you know, this is all part of the same plan. And this is something that if you do not recognize that this is real, then you're going to be propagandized and told, you know, it's like that joke, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes, you know? And it's a manipulation. So you have to be able to have the guts enough to stand up and say, I can see that the emperor has no clothes on, and now I am going to act, and I'm going to share that information with others. This is our job now.
Something funny just came to mind there. Every single time a politician opens his mouth in a public speaking, it would be great if there's at least one truther in the crowd who stands up and goes, you're a liar! A liar!
Yeah, hey, it happened here in the United States Senate, you know? I mean, that's pretty powerful, calling Obama a liar right there in the Senate. All of us have to speak the truth, you know? There is such a thing as objective reality.
Shout it and scream it, you know. We have to like shout so loud that tracheal surgery becomes one of the options later in life, you know. I have this great desire to do everything that I can, and not for myself though, but for everything in general, right? I'm very non-specific. Everything's kind of my interest. And that's the funny thing about Agenda 21, is that it does encompass everything. It's the only topic that I've ever discovered in all of the endless conspiracies that actually does, literally in a mapped out, planned format that is documented and evidenced in every step of the way. That it literally encompasses everything in life. It encompasses your religion. It encompasses your city. It encompasses your water. It encompasses your power, your education, your everything that you could ever look around you, ladies and gentlemen. I can guarantee you, in the next 20 years, if we don't stop this thing, everything that you see around you will no longer be there in its current form. It will replace everything around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And it's not, you know, it's not out there. It's not some remote thing. It's actually in the process of happening right now. You know, and that's what people need to acknowledge, because this is a communitarian plan, and it says that the individual's rights have to be balanced against the rights of the community. And in this case, we're talking about the global community. Now, all individuals then are a threat to the global community. And I'm not talking about anarchy. What I'm saying is that your individual rights, and in the U.S. we have rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're not talking about anarchy. We're talking about the individual's ability to, you know, to realize their fullest potential. And this is considered to be a threat to the planet. This is considered to be unsustainable. According to this plan, you know, what's unsustainable are single-family residences, private vehicles, meat-eating, dams, appliances, air conditioning, livestock, tillage. And so, you know, when you're looking at that Food Security Act, you know, or whatever element it is, you know, in whichever country you're in, we're talking about literally control over all of our food, over where we grow it, how we grow it, over our movement, over where we live. And this is real. And it does seem overwhelming, but it is possible to stop this plan. We need to achieve critical mass and information in order to do it, and this is what we're engaged in doing right now. And you know what? One thing I want to add if you want to see what it looks like to take down one of these meetings, to actually go into these regional meetings and take them down, we have some videos up on our website, if people would go and take a look. And also, I've written about it in my book, which is Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. But on our website, the Post Sustainability Institute website, or Democrats Against UN Agenda 21.com, you can see us take down a meeting and actually create literally chaos in a Delphi meeting. And this is what people need to do all around the world.
So specifically, what's the technique? Like, in fact, we'll talk about this after the break, because I've actually seen this myself many times in New Zealand here. When, in fact, Penny Bright, if anybody wants to Google a lady who you can watch many, many countless videos of causing copious amounts of trouble all by herself, huge amounts of disruption for the right reasons and properly polished with all the right words and all the documentation, that kind of stuff, while doing so. A single person is the absolute worst thing that a huge amount of scumbags who are trying to keep secrets have to worry about. Uh-huh. Yeah, seriously.
That's true. You know, and imagine lots and lots of those individuals can really make, you know, can really do a lot of damage to this plan.
Yeah, and if those individuals organize, it's like, hey, bro, you go to this council meeting on Monday, I'll take Tuesday, you take Wednesday. And you're kind of like, it's like shift protesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Got a whole team of detectives on the case. They got us working in shifts.
Yeah, this is happening right now all across the United States and the world. Because this, you know, these kinds of visioning meetings, they're not just in New Zealand or Australia or the United States or Canada or England. They're everywhere. You know, everywhere, because they're trying to manufacture consensus and show that they have buy-in by the locals, which, you know, so they manufacture that and create it. So you have to go in and shake those meetings up and take them over.
Yeah, exactly. After all, they demand that you have respect of the meeting. But does the meeting have any respect for you?
No.
then it's only respectful and just to show them exactly the same kind of respect that they're showing you, i.e. none. But they're not going to, you know, shoot you or anything, so don't do that to them. But, you know, we'll be right back after the break with Rosa Corey. Back, ladies and gentlemen, it's the final segment. Where did those 2 hours go, eh?
Hey.
They disappear, don't they? And I think it kind of reminds me of the point, you know, have you ever seen the movie 2012? You know, obviously everybody's going to blow up, you know, earthquakes, what have you, oceans swallow people up like Americans swallow cheeseburgers. The whole premise of it is, you know, I wish we had more time, and I apply that often to the guests that I have on this show, like yourself.
Right, yeah, time's running out here. Well, you know, it's not good to take that point of view because, you know, we have the ever-spacious present to fight, and it's not like I, you know, want to fight. I certainly have a lot of other things I'd rather be doing, but this is the time to do it because the process is still in, it's not hammered down. It's not totally in concrete yet, and we can fight this. You know, I'm sure that there's nobody who's listening who would think of themselves as a person who would have gotten up in the morning and put on a Nazi uniform during World War II. Everybody who's listening thinks that they would have been in the resistance. And it's necessary to actually do something when you're in the resistance, because if you don't, you're going to be just one of the victims. And it's necessary for all of us to work together to get the information out, to start taking back our local government, getting elected to local school boards, to fire districts, to water boards, getting vetting our our people who are running for office, asking them where they stand on Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, demanding that our cities get out of ICLEI, the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, saying that, you know, when we go to these city visioning meetings, to these county visioning meetings, that we do not want regional government, that it is unelected and unaccountable to us, and anti-Delphi-ing meetings, going in and saying that we do not want federal grants for sustainable community strategies, that we are refusing to take that money. Elected officials need to do this, and they need to be supported by the people. When your elected officials are turning down federal grants that are actually creating regional government, you need to support those people, or they will lose next time around. So this is what we need to do. We have to work together. We need to get the information out. We need to withdraw our support from those nonprofits and from so-called charitable groups that we are actually supporting by these are groups that are supporting Agenda 21. We need to expose collaborators and put that information out, whether it's on a blog or it's on a website or it's on our flyers. We want to understand that there's no silver bullet, that we need to work. There's no heroes in this project. There is nobody who's better than anyone else. We all do whatever we can to stop this plan, because it is a regional plan, that and regionalization is an interim step to one world government, to globalization. And you literally will have absolutely no power at all. And this is the plan.
This just in, Christchurch is going to be forced amalgamated and be turned into a super city.
Mm-hmm.
In accordance with Agenda 21.
You've got those 16 regional, you have 16 regional councils there in New Zealand, and this is part of it. This is how they're you know, in your Auckland Council is a super city. That's 20-member governing body with 148 members, 8,000-member staff. I mean, what kind of an influence do you think that you're going to have, you know, as one person out there when you have so many officials that are not actually elected by you, that do not have to answer to you? You want to fight these super cities. You should be, all of you in New Zealand, you want to fight these super councils, you know, super cities, these regional councils, and we have to do it across the world, everywhere. And they are everywhere. They're all across the United States. We need to stop this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm quite sure that if Superman was born on Earth, he would have become a tyrant. And I think the only reason why he used his superpowers for good is because he wasn't from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you happy to see me, or is that kryptonite in your pocket? Yeah. Well, people will be, you know, I don't think that human beings are all so good. I think that anyone, you know, you have to exert moral pressure on yourself, because anyone can be as bad as they want to be if they get the permission. And what this plan does is it actually rewards bad behavior, and it allows people to benefit financially through your tax dollars, whether they're federal or local. And this is why we need to, there are many people locally who would be very happy to benefit from this plan, and they are the ones who are going along to get along, who are benefiting from the public-private partnerships, or are saying they speak for you when they speak for your neighborhood associations. Because remember, this is about buy-in from locals, and so they will artificially construct that by inserting their own people into your neighborhood associations. And this is your government that's doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of the Viet Cong infiltration of South Vietnam during the lead-up to the war there. You know, it gets to the point where they're so well dug in that and you can't find them at the same time. Mm-hmm. And how can you come in and resist a force like that? Okay, so that is what is happening at the moment. They're moving their pieces on the board into position. And if we want to mess up their plans, we kind of have to do it now. Mm-hmm. And the time is and always has been now. I mean, can you name me a time in your life where you haven't been conscious right now? You know, think about it. There's only one moment in all of history. It's right now. And that moment has stretched all the way back through history. And that moment will stretch all the way through eternity. So in a way, you're kind of sharing a moment with everybody who's ever lived or whoever will. So I think you better take responsibility for it and not keep your eyes closed and see what's going on around you and do nothing. Okay, if a log is rolling down a hill in front of you, that's a threat. You get out of the way. But if a steamroller is steamrolling over your rights and it's going very, very, very slowly, you think, oh, man, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll wait till the war starts before I get involved. The war has already begun.
Mm-hmm. And there's no Switzerland in this war. And that's, you know, people ask me when I give speeches, they say, so Rosa, you know, they come up afterwards, hey, Rosa, you know, where can we go? And I say, there's no Switzerland. You stay in your town and you fight it there. And you recognize when they talk about capacity building or strengthening community or consensus building or vibrant, livable transformation, change, these consensus, these are all terms. These are all jargon terms from Agenda 21, sustainable development. So you want to be conscious of what's going on and you want to resist. And this is, you know, that's one reason why I wrote my book. The book is a short book. It's very easy to read. And the last 20 pages are what you can do, including how to anti-Delphi a meeting and exactly what you can do. Lots of different things. You want to get young people involved in this. A lot of the people who are in this fight are older people. You want to encourage young people to recognize it right there in their schools, right there in their small local organizations, and empower them to fight this plan with you. So one thing we do is we give awards to young people who are creating videos against Agenda, you know, talking about what Agenda 21 looks like in their town. And we give awards for that, and we have awards
banquets.
Where's
mine?
You know, get
I'm
young people involved. Right? And you want to make people conscious, like you said. It's, you know, the ever spacious present. You want people to be conscious. When they see those three words together, economy, ecology, and social equity, it's four words, but whatever. Those are the three pillars. You need to be keyed in. When you see that, you go, okay, that's Agenda 21. I get it. I see it. I'm fighting it.
When you put those three pillars up, those are actually three of the central planks of the Communist Manifesto as well.
Mm-hmm. That is true, yes. And, you know, this is, whatever you call it, you know, basically what you're looking at is loss of personal rights and freedoms. And, you know, don't get hijacked by people who start tripping on you about, oh, you're talking about, you know, they're gonna call you names because they think that you're out there fear-mongering or fantasizing about communism. The reality is that this plan, no matter what you call it, is communitarian, and that means that the individual always loses against the community. And since they are trumping up what the community wants, you will never, ever have a voice in this plan. This is a plan to destroy your independence, and it's worldwide.
Indeed. Thank you, Rosa, for all the work that you do. In fact, you know what, Rosa? I find it very disingenuous whenever people come up and say thank you for doing what you do when they're not doing anything themselves.
Well, you know, everybody, as long as people are hearing this and they're doing something, whatever you do, if you go home and talk to your family tonight, if you talk to your neighbor, if you have the guts to speak out, and you recognize that you're not alone, that you're with a lot of millions of people like us across the world, then you can be, you are the resistance. And everyone is the resistance. All free people are the resistance. And we will win this together.
Yeah. Sure, as darkness swallows up the day eventually vanquishes the night. As will happen here, and has this happened before, every single tyranny that has ever tried to rear its ugly head and gain dominance has been beaten by the power of free people. Thank you very much, Rosa, for coming on the show with me today. It has been my honor and pleasure, and we'll make sure that we get out some stuff on you. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming up now on These Changing Times Radio with Patrick Lynch, I believe. So if you go to These Changing Times with a Z, or a Z, .com, These Changing Times Radio. I'll be there in a minute, and I won't be doing the social chat, obviously, because of that. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Archives at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.